I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read the first 20 verses of that chapter this morning. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you'll want to turn to page 839. And if you do not own a Bible, we would love for you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany to you this morning. Again, if you're a guest with us, we're thankful that you are here. We are studying together in this sermon series a parable Jesus told that's called the parable of the sower, sometimes called the parable of the soils. This parable is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, which are the gospels according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the parable is about a sower sowing seed in the soil. Simple. In all three gospel accounts, Jesus tells the parable to the crowd, and then he addresses a question that his disciples ask, and then he explains the meaning of the parable to his disciples. Last Sunday in the sermon, we had an overview of the parable, and we heard that this parable, it's about ministry, the ministry of gospel communication and responses to the gospel. This parable is the Lord's word concerning ministry of the Lord's word. It's evangelism illustrated. And what we saw last week, we recognized that the seed in the parable is God's word. We will not see a harvest if we do not sow seed. We will not see people being saved or people growing in the faith unless we minister the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. We heard and recognized that Jesus is the sower. Jesus sowed the Word by teaching, and He continues to do the same today. He has given us, His church, the Great Commission, saying, go make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. And as we are engaged in that great work, it is the risen and ascended Jesus who by His Spirit is enabling us and sowing the seed of the Word of God through us. Jesus is the sower. We recognized also last week that this sowing is to be all over. We're to sow the seed all over. It's to be indiscriminate. Go make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel to the whole creation. We are to tell the good news of Jesus without regard to what type of soil we think another person might have or to the likelihood of their response being positive. It is our commission to tell everyone without distinction, the gospel is for you. To tell everyone, without restriction, Jesus is the only Savior for you. And God makes His appeal through us, calling sinners to come to Jesus and be saved. We recognized last week that the seed is sown specifically in the hearer's heart. The Word of God must enter through the ear. We must hear it. Comes through the ear with understanding and penetrate the heart so that the heart responds. And of course, heart, we don't mean the physical beating heart. We mean the core of the person. The core of the person is where the response to God's Word takes place. And so Jesus, in this parable, He describes four types of soil. The four possible heart responses to the Word of God. And as Jesus tells this parable, He shows us very clearly that if the Word of God does not bear fruit in your life and in my life, if the Word of God does not bear fruit, the problem is not with the seed, it's not with the sower, it's not with the method of sowing. The problem is with the soil. And so in Jesus' parable, we are called, every one of us, We are called to examine ourselves and see that we receive the Word of God, the seed. Beginning today, we're going to consider the four types of soil that Jesus describes, these four possible heart responses to the Word of God. And we begin with the soil along the path. Give you full attention to the reading of God's Word, beginning with verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Let's pray together. God, this is your word. We acknowledge that it is truth. And we pray that you would open our eyes so that we might behold wondrous things in this, your word. We pray that you would bless the preaching of this passage of your word so that those who do not know Jesus might be saved by coming to know him and trust him. And that those who are trusting Jesus for salvation might grow up to full maturity in him. We ask it in his name. Amen. Let me give you a preview for where we're going today and the following two Sundays. We're going to, as we look at these soils, the three soils Jesus described that were unproductive, the heart responses to the Word of God in which the Word of God did not bear fruit, as we see these three unproductive soils, we're going to ask and answer two simple questions. What is the problem and what can we do about it? So as we consider these unproductive soils that Jesus describes, we're going to seek to determine what the problem is in each one and then seek to see how we can address that problem. Remember also that last week, we said that there are two primary ways that we can apply this parable. One way has to do with when the good news of Jesus, who died for our sin and rose from the grave, when that good news is told to someone who's not trusting Jesus for salvation, an unbeliever. When that good news is told to somebody, and as we tell them, we're encountering different responses. So when we tell the good news and we encounter unproductive responses, and these soils Jesus describes, it helps us to determine the problem and how we can address the problem, what we can do about it. The other way of applying this parable is concerning our own heart response to the Word of God. Are you receiving the Word of God today? You. Are you receptive? And so the parable helps us to think about how our own hearts are prone to these unproductive soil types. And as we encounter that with ourselves, then it helps us, as we hear Jesus' description, determine what the problem is and what we can do about it. So when we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus and encountering different responses, unproductive responses, and when we are hearing the good news of Jesus and exhibiting unproductive responses, these soils help us to determine what the problem is and how we can address it. So that's a preview of where we're going. So with the first soil Jesus describes, let's begin by determining the problem. Look back at verse 3. Jesus said, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." Now, the fields in Jesus' day were strips of land that were crossed by footpaths. So the fields were not laid out in an orderly fashion, like we are so often accustomed to, especially here in North America. You know, the fields were these strips of land, and they were simply marked by the foot traffic of people and the traffic of livestock and carts. And so these paths, these footpaths, marked the boundaries of one person's plot from another person's plot of land. And this parable that Jesus tells, it describes what would ordinarily have taken place as a sower went out to sow in his field, and he's broadcasting the seed in his field, and as he does so, some of the seed inevitably falls along the footpath bordering his field, and that footpath is packed down hard. It's hardened like asphalt from the passage of many feet and hooves and wheels. So that the seed that falls along the path, it just lies there on the surface. And the birds come and devour it. So that's what Jesus tells in the parable. But now let's look at his explanation of this seed that fell along the path. In verses 14 and 15, he says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." So, what is the problem here? What is this terrible danger Jesus describes? Jesus describes a heart that is unreceptive. The problem is not that the person has not heard the word of God. Jesus plainly says, when they hear. The person has heard the word, has heard the good news of Jesus and his transforming power. The gospel seed has been sown in that person. The problem is the gospel seed has not penetrated the heart. The Word of God has not been embraced. the heart is hardened like asphalt, so that the word just, the seed of the word just lies there on the surface, and it does not penetrate. It does not take root. Here is the person who has heard the good news of Jesus from someone. They've heard the good news of Jesus from a witness, but they do nothing with it. The person does nothing with it. To not embrace the Word of God is to outright reject the Word of God. Here also is the person who may even come to church and listen to preaching, may even tune in on the live stream or watch on television, but they do nothing with the Word. Why do they come? Why do they tune in? I don't know. Maybe for some it's a habit. You know, it's just something that they do. They come to church or they watch church happen on Sundays. Maybe it's just a habit, part of what they do. Maybe they have friends here, you know, and they want to come and be with their friends. And listening to the preacher go on for 40 minutes or so is just the price you have to pay to come and be with your friends. Maybe they get some kind of emotional therapy out of it. You know, they feel better for having come, for having tuned in. They feel better. It's like putting a veneer. They've laid a veneer of Jesus over a week of living for the world, and that makes them feel better. After laying that veneer of Jesus over that week of living for the world, makes them feel better about starting the next week. Even though they've heard the gospel, even though they've gone through the religious motion of listening to the preacher, the fact is that the word has not really penetrated the heart. The seed has not sunk deep into the soil of their hearts. They've done nothing with it. To not embrace the word of God is to outright reject the word of God. And so for this person, by sometime on Sunday afternoon, they likely could not even tell you what the sermon was about, much less the importance of that message for them. It does not occur to that person. It does not occur to this person that he is being addressed, that she is being addressed. It does not occur to this person that God is speaking to him. God is speaking to her, that as the word is proclaimed, the voice of Jesus is calling for him, calling for her to repent and put faith in him and be saved. And so he hears the word, she hears the word, but there's never any change in thinking. There's never any adjustment to convictions. There's never any transformation in living so that it's all in line with the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed of the Word just lies there. This is a terrible danger. This is a terrible danger that Jesus describes, that the seed of the Word of God would just lie on the surface of the heart, unheeded. It would be heard, but unheeded. Jesus is warning that this is a terrible spiritual danger. Does the Word just lie on the surface of your heart, unheeded? Is the Word just sitting there on the surface of you? Are you embracing the Word? Because if not, you're outright rejecting the Word. This is a terrible spiritual danger. What is the terrible danger Jesus describes? Jesus describes a heart that is deceived. The seed that laid there on the hard-packed path, hard as asphalt, what happened? It lay there on the surface, it didn't penetrate, the birds came. And they devoured it. They ate it. And then Jesus explains that the birds are a metaphor for the activity of Satan, the devil. Jesus is warning us of the grave danger we face. Listen, Satan hates you. And he desires and he aims for your everlasting destruction, your eternal doom is his aim. Therefore, you failing to take the word of God seriously is Satan's primary purpose. That's what he did right from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, with our first parents, when our race fell into sin, what was Satan's purpose? What did he do? He said, did God really say that? Oh, you will not surely die. You failing to take the word of God seriously is Satan's primary purpose in whatever he does. That's his primary pursuit, is you failing to take the word of God seriously. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul is speaking about the great privilege that Christians have in telling the good news of Jesus to others. And there Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world, that's Satan, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. That's the devil's primary pursuit. That's his primary purpose in everything that he does, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ. And we also read in 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter writes to Christians about this great danger that we face. And he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil's main weapon is deception. Jesus said that the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. Satan's main tactic is to whisper to us, did God really say that? Did God really say, no, come on. You can keep having it your way. You can keep living for the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of possessions. You can keep doing that. I mean, did God really say that those things belong to the world, that they are of the world and they are not of him? And that if you live for those things, you will surely die. Oh, come on. That's a bit harsh. The devil's constantly on the prowl. He is ever on the hunt for a heart that is hardened so that the seed of the Word of God lies there on the surface, exposed and not taking root, and the devil is ready to pounce. Drop in a distraction here. Throw in a temptation here. Sprinkle in a lie or two. And there you have the devil's recipe for your destruction. The Bible says that he prowls around like a lion. Prowling means that he is opportunistic. That's what it means. He's just watching. He's just watching to see who might not embrace today. Because if they don't embrace, I'm coming after him. Lion, he's prowling means he's opportunistic. Lion means he's a predator. Jesus is warning us here of the devil's designs. Don't say to yourself, I've got time. The word doesn't need to sink in today. I can just let it lie there for a bit. I can keep living life on my own terms. I mean, you know what? There'll be, okay, maybe if this Jesus thing, or maybe if his claims, maybe if what he calls me to do is really true, if it's really, maybe it's really right, but I'll have tomorrow. I can deal with that tomorrow. I can deal with that next Sunday. There's always next Sunday. There's always that next week. Do that, and you are exposed to the predator's attack. Satan will do everything he can to keep you from taking the claims of Jesus Christ seriously. He will do everything he can to keep you from taking the claims of Jesus Christ seriously. He will deceive you with a bargain. He will. He'll say, okay. So you're starting to think seriously about this Word of God thing? Fine. Just don't do anything about it today. No. Today you're too busy with your life. You're too busy living your life to get engaged with the Jesus thing today. Tomorrow will be much better for that business. You know what's interesting to me is in Luke's account of this parable, Luke adds this. He says, the seed fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Could it be that the busy traffic of your life is hardening your heart so that the Word of God is not embraced, it doesn't sink in, it lies there exposed for the devil to come and snatch it away to your destruction? Today's not a good day, he whispers. Tomorrow will be much better suited for this business. Tomorrow comes and there's always more excuses, more deception. And then comes the day when you stand before the throne of the Holy God on a day of His judgment of mankind. That is surely coming. There comes that day when you stand before His judgment seat. Your opportunity will have run its course. And your heart will have never embraced His Word. That is the devil's design. That is your adversary's aim. Beware. Beware. I mean, don't be like this passage from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus quoted in verse 12, where he says that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Beware. I mean, what a danger to have the busy traffic of your life harden your heart so that the seed of the Word of God just lies there on the surface and the devil snatches it away to your eternal destruction. What greater danger could you possibly face than that? So let the Word sink in deep, which means embrace the Word. So now how do you do that? Having determined the problem, now we're going to talk about ways in which we can address the problem. So the next step is thinking about how do we address this problem? This is the problem. What can we do about it? I want to offer four steps in addressing this problem of an unreceptive and deceived heart. Four steps that you and I can take, whether we are talking about us as hearers of the Word or whether we're talking about a gospel witness to those who do not believe. Four steps. The first step to addressing the problem is to recognize the necessity of receiving God's Word. Now, this step is really just an emphasizing of what we have already heard. For us to be saved, for us to grow up in that salvation, it is absolutely vital that we hear and heed the Word of God. The Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God, is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God, is profitable to mature us in that salvation, to grow us up in that faith. So right now is the time to get serious about the Word of God. Not tomorrow. Not this afternoon. Right now is the time to get serious about receiving the Word of God. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. It's an urgent matter. The devil will not let the seed of the Word of God lay on the surface of your heart for long. He will move in for the attack and snatch it away to your eternal destruction. This is an urgent matter. The necessity of receiving the Word of God. And when it comes to bearing witness to unbelievers, we must recognize the necessity of their receiving the Word of God, the gospel. And they must receive it with understanding. If we check Matthew's account of this parable, there Jesus said, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart." This is what was sown along the path. We are not responsible for the soil of someone else's heart. Each person is responsible for the soil of his or her own heart. But we are responsible to do everything that we can to help that person understand the truth of the gospel. We are to be clear about the urgency of that person hearing and embracing the good news of Jesus Christ. We have nothing else to offer. We have nothing else to offer them that can bring a person from death to life. We have nothing else to offer that can have that person delivered from God's wrath and forgiven of their sin. We have nothing else to offer but the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified for our sin, risen from the grave, and reigning forevermore. That's all we have to offer to save lost sinners. They must hear, and they must understand, and they must embrace the good news of Jesus crucified, risen, and reigning forevermore as the only Savior. And the good news of Jesus crucified, risen, and reigning forevermore is what we've been entrusted with to tell them. We must recognize the necessity of receiving God's word. Second step to addressing the problem is to ask for help. And by asking for help, I mean prayer. I mean ask God to help you to receive, to really receive, to understand and apply His word. Ask God for help for you to embrace His word. The Holy Spirit is who inspired the Scriptures. And we need the Holy Spirit's help to understand and to apply the Scriptures, to do something about what we read. He is the counselor. So ask God for help so that you might really receive, really understand His Word and do something about it. Ask God for help that you might embrace His Word and respond with repentance and faith in Jesus. Cry out to the Spirit for help. God will not turn a deaf ear to that prayer. I recently was gifted a book that was written by a long-term IMB missionary. And in that book, which tells, the book's titled Walking with Giants, and it tells testimonies about believers serving Jesus around the world. We would never hear their names, and yet they're giants in the faith. And one particular testimony that the book provides is about Pastor Jason, who lived in the Araku Valley in India. And Pastor Jason, he was not able as a young child to go to school, so he never learned to read. But God, he heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus from somebody, and God saved Jason and called him into the ministry. But Jason couldn't read. And so, you know, what Jason did is he would memorize large numbers of Bible stories that he had heard. And as a pastor, he would simply tell those stories and give application from them. Still, in his 60s, Pastor Jason had a great longing to be able to read God's Word. Here's what the author reports in the book. He says, "Then one day, in early morning devotions, Pastor Jason began to comprehend what all of those squiggly marks meant on the page of his Bible. He could read. His testimony was, 'I was given the gift of eyes.' After all, if the gift of tongues involved speaking, then the gift of eyes involved reading." Interestingly enough, listen to this, Pastor Jason could only read the Bible, not a newspaper or even a printed Bible study page, just the Bible. That wasn't a problem for Pastor Jason because the Bible was all he wanted to read anyway. Ask for help. God will give it. When it comes to telling the good news of Jesus to unbelievers, we desperately need the help of God. We desperately need the help to tell the good news and to help that person understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, this great privilege that we have been given to be the mouthpieces of God in the salvation of sinners, it is a supernatural affair. You and I can't save anyone. We can't save a single person. Not even if we argued really well and reasoned really long. We can't save a single person. The gospel is the power of God, and we must cry out to God to empower our witness to unbelievers. If you study the book of Acts, the apostles and the church who turned the world upside down with the good news of Jesus, read about their life together, and what you will find is that they are people devoted to prayer. Ask for help. God will give it. The third step to addressing the problem is to be willing to do the work. The fact that our hearing and understanding God's Word, and the fact that our giving effective witness to unbelievers, that both of those demand dependence on the Holy Spirit through prayer, that fact does not cancel the fact that both of those things demand our willing, hard work. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul calls for us to pursue holy gospel living. Pursue godliness. And as he calls for us to pursue holy gospel living, he gives us three metaphors there to describe it. He speaks of a soldier who does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. He speaks of an athlete who competes according to the rules. And he speaks of a farmer who works hard for a share of crops. And then after giving us those metaphors that describe this pursuit of holy gospel living, Paul says this, he gives this command in verse 7. He says, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Now in that verse, there's a command followed by a promise. We are to do the work of thinking, of meditating on the Word of God. We are to do the work of studying it, to think of how this passage before us applies to me, to ask questions of the Word so that we might grasp it, its meaning. That's what we are to do, and the Lord's promise is the Lord will give you understanding in everything. A saving, fruitful understanding of His Word is the Lord's promise to all of His people. But we must not shirk our duty to think on it, to exercise our minds in pursuit of understanding, to work at the Word, to ask the question, what does this passage tell me about God? What does it tell me about me? What does it tell me about sin? What does it tell me about salvation? What does it tell me about what repentance and faith in Jesus looks like? ask questions of the Word so that we might gain a proper understanding. What does this passage tell me about the difference it should make in my life and in my family's life and in the life of my church? We must not shirk our duty. If we do our duty, according to this verse, the Lord will give us understanding in everything. If I may press Jesus' metaphor just a bit, the preaching of the Word of God, like what's happening right now, is the broadcasting of the seed. This is the broadcasting. You coming behind and meditating on what's being preached, you coming behind and thinking about the passage of Scripture, that's like you pressing that seed down deep into the soil so that it'll take root. Work at the Word, and the Word will bear fruit. And when it comes to our witnessing to unbelievers, to telling the good news of Jesus to those who are not trusting Jesus for salvation, oh, let me tell you, that calls for hard, willing work as well. Quoting John 3:16 does not mean that our witness is faithful. The deacons and I just finished reading a book together titled Tactics. Very helpful read. In helping us to think well and to guide conversations in a winsome way with unbelievers to try to help them to understand the truth of who Jesus is and His saving power alone. We, the deacons and I, I'm sure they would. I definitely commend it to your reading. It's called Tactics. Greg Kuchel is the author. And when it comes to our labor in faithful witness, bearing faithful witness, Greg Kuchel, the author, wrote these words. He said, without God's work, nothing works. Nothing else works. But with God's work, many things work. Understanding this truth makes our jobs as ambassadors much easier. We can be confident that every time we engage, we have an ally. Our job is to communicate the gospel clearly, graciously, and persuasively as possible. God's job is to take it from there. We may plant the seeds or water the saplings, but God causes whatever increase comes from our efforts. I like to call this principle 100% God and 100% man. I am wholly responsible. Listen. I am wholly responsible for my side of the ledger, and God is entirely responsible for His. I focus on being faithful, but I trust God to be effective. Some will respond, and some will not. The results are God's concern, not mine. That lifts a tremendous burden from my shoulders. In the end, the soil of a person's heart is his own responsibility, her own responsibility. But we are responsible to give them the truth tools so that they might be helped in plowing up the ground of their heart so that the Word of God, the seed, might sink in deep. The Bible says, always be ready to offer a defense to anyone who ask you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. It takes work to offer that defense of the gospel truth. That leads us to the fourth step, crucial step in addressing this problem. Focus always on Jesus. In every reading of the Bible, in every sermon, in every passage that is set before you, ask, what is the ultimate point? And the ultimate point is always going to be Jesus Christ, crucified for our sin, risen from the grave, and reigning forevermore. The Bible's purpose, according to the Bible, the Bible's purpose is to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus and to help us to mature in that salvation. Immediately after that command that Paul wrote when he said, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Immediately after that command, Paul wrote these words, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." Jesus is the focal point of all of Scripture. To approach the Bible, but not see Jesus, will not give eternal life. Jesus said so to the religious leaders of his day. In John chapter 5, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." The seed of the word will remain on the hard surface of the heart unless and until we understand that the ultimate point, the ultimate purpose of Holy Scripture is to bring us to the cross of Jesus, to bring us to the empty tomb of Jesus, and to bring us to the heavenly eternal reign of Jesus, so that through repentance and faith in Jesus, we might be saved. So as we read the word, and as we hear the word preached, and as we speak the word to unbelieving friends that we have, make sure the laser focus of our vision is always on Jesus, crucified for our sin, risen from the grave, and reigning forevermore. This is the problem Jesus described in the soil along the path, a heart unreceptive and deceived. And this is what we can do about it. Recognize the necessity of receiving God's word. Ask God's help to receive it and to proclaim it. Be willing to do the work. And focus always on Jesus. May the seed of the word of God bear much fruit in all of us this day. Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Your word is what we need because Jesus is who we need. And we could not know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done were it not for your written word. So we need your word, and we thank you for this passage that has plainly set before us not only the Lord's teaching, not only Jesus and all his glory, but it set before us the urgency that we should feel, the urgency that we should recognize that we come fleeing to Jesus in faith, that we turn from our rebellion and sin and we put our faith in him. Oh God, I pray that every one of us in this room, everyone watching on the live stream, that our testimony would be this: I embrace the word. I turn to Jesus because of God's grace that is given to us in him. And I pray that for those of us who are trusting Jesus today, that what we have heard would make us ever receptive to the word of God, to your word. That we would never harden our heart against anything, Lord Jesus, that you tell us to do, anything you tell us to be, that we would not harden our hearts, but that we would embrace, we would receive, we would repent and trust you. I ask it all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing a hymn of response together.